In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us quieten our hearts in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we have gathered around Thy holy and blessed word, we simply beseech, dear Father, feed and nourish us. Grant unto us words of guidance, comfort, and understanding. Wherever Thy word is heard this evening, as we remember the suffering and death of Thy beloved Son, and how He bore our sins and the sins of the entire world from the beginning of time to the end of time. Dear Father, we do not know how to praise and thank Thee fully. But in heaven, dear Father, in fullness, our praise and thanksgiving is heard. Dear Father, we thank You for this grace gift of Thy beloved Son who suffered and died on our behalf, and how He arose victorious on that third day, Easter morning, so that we never need experience eternal death and damnation, but through His merit work we have received the hope of heaven. Dear Father, we ask simply, preserve us here as a little child, desiring the sincere milk of Thy word, that we may grow thereby. And we ask, dear Father, simply, increase our faith. And for all this we ask in Thy beloved Son's name. In Jesus' name, amen. Indeed, we are living today Good Friday. And it's good that you've come here. And you who may be listening there, wherever you are, it's good that you're listening. Oftentimes in very lonely places, and yet God is very near. I thought I'd take for our study for this evening from the Gospel according to St. Luke. Beginning from the 26th verse onward, where it relates unto us of the final moments of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. And these words are in Jesus' name as follow. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for your children, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to that place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in the letters of the Greek and the Latin and Hebrew, saying, this is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Amen. It's good, dear mothers and fathers, that you brought your children here. It's good that you youth have come, and you dear elders and aunts and uncles. At Christmas time, we also approach those shepherds in the field and listen to that miraculous tiding of our Heavenly Father through His angels, declaring the miracle of miracles. Jesus is born in Bethlehem. And we went with the shepherds there into the stable and beheld the Christ child. We do this again and again. Every Christmas, we approach that same stable and marvel at the miracle and the miraculous gift that God has given unto us, where there lays before us the beloved baby Jesus. There's a song that we sing often during this time of year, and it's song number 71 in our book. And it's also an exhortation to you and I, how important it is now, during this final week of our Lord Jesus, which oftentimes has been called Passion Week. Even this, when we read in the Holy Bible from the Gospel according to Matthew, the Gospel according to Mark and Luke and John, those four books of the Bible have 89 chapters. a lot of reading. It relays onto us the life of Jesus, His teachings, how He taught us. But if you begin to look, 25 of those 89 chapters refer to that final week of our Lord Jesus. Is there not reason for us to come during this time of Passion Week to behold the Lord Jesus and what He has done unto us? Here in this 71st song that we sing, it says and encourages us, let us go up to Jerusalem and gather in still reflection to ponder the path of our Savior's pain, His suffering and crucifixion, and so on. And the last verse of this song reminds us, thus let us go to Jerusalem, the city of light eternal. There Jesus has promised to take His own, to live in His heavenly glory. And so during this time of year especially, although it's good for us throughout the year to remember that the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus, that merit work that He did on our behalf. And then, as that final verse of that song then reminds us, and then thus we will go to that eternal Jerusalem, to our Father in heaven. And that's why we gather here again and again at the feet of Jesus to be reminded of what He has to say unto us. Jesus, when he came unto the disciples, then after He had on Easter morning, when He was resurrected from the dead, and those women went there, and the angel said, Jesus is not dead, He lives. And as those women went to bring this message onto the disciples, Jesus Himself came onto them. But then, when He came onto all of the disciples that were behind locked doors, He said unto them, peace be unto you. Oh, how fearful they had been and doubt-ridden. And then the Bible says, then He opened the Holy Scriptures unto them that they began to remember that of which He taught and which the Bible testified concerning Himself. Dear brothers and sisters, our Heavenly Father, His Holy Spirit, God, the Creator, our Lord Jesus, who has redeemed us from sin, and that third portion of that Holy Trinity is the Holy Spirit, which sanctifies us. This Holy Spirit dwells in God's kingdom. It's an unerring guide that we have. And Jesus even says in the very final pages of the Bible, speaking to you, dear brothers and sisters, ye that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Sometimes believers have asked, you know, about this list of these do's and don'ts, you know, that if we could get some kind of list. There is no list of do's and don'ts in God's kingdom. But there is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, even Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit, and oftentimes He spoke of it as the Comforter which is to come. And it's our home teacher. It speaks unto every one of us, every single day. And it brings into our mind memories of that which Jesus taught us. Because there is a false doctrine out there
that is constantly battering us, the enemy of the soul and his servants. But the Holy Spirit, it is that unerring guide that God has granted here into His kingdom. And it speaks unto us every day, encouraging us to endeavor, just as you are, in your place of watching, to preserve faith and good conscience. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Late Thursday evening. And before this, even in that upper chamber, he prayed. He prayed on our behalf. That you would not be taken out of this world, but rather that you would be shielded here and preserved in living faith. This song that we sang here, this song 90, behold the tender bridegroom, he wears a bloody crown, the heavy cross he carries has crushed him to the ground. But you see his head is lifting, his heart with love ablaze, he looks at you, O sinner, with pity in his gaze. This is the portion now where our text begins. Much had happened already. He had been ridiculed. He had been tormented. Already in that Garden of Gethsemane, where he began to feel the weight of that sin burden of mankind upon his shoulders. And he was praying there unto the Heavenly Father, Father, take this cup from me, but not as I will, but as thou wilt. Already there he felt such anguish and pain that the Bible relates unto us. His sweat was as blood dripping to the ground. He was arrested there and taken to the place of the high priest and the council of Jerusalem. But they could find no fault in him. They brought witness after witness. They could find nothing. And finally the high priest asked, Art thou the Son of God? And he replied, Yes, I am. And the council began to cry out, Crucify him! He blasphemes against God. But they could not punish him. They were under the Roman rule. So then they took him to the governor, Pontius Pilate. And as Pilate questioned him, he could find no fault in him. And the people yelled and railed. And finally, Pilate takes a basin of water before the multitude that was there already then, early morning Friday. And he begins to wash his hands and he says, I am innocent of his blood. And then he said that one prisoner would be freed. And there was a prisoner there. He was a murderer. In the midst of a riot, he had murdered somebody. And they had taken him out of prison, and he was there before Pilate. And Pilate had him and Jesus standing there, and he asked the multitude then, Who shall I free? And they freed the murderer. And they began to yell to Jesus and to Pilate to crucify him. Pilate gave him to the Roman soldiers, and the soldiers took him away and began to ridicule and beat him. They spat in his face, which was the worst insult of that day. And they beat him with palm and with fist. And then they took his robes off and tied him against a column and began to whip him, scourge him, as it is said in the Bible. And as custom was, they would only scourge or whip 39 times, because usually after the 40th one, the person died. So severe was the beating. He was whipped with pieces of leather, with sharp stone and metal tied to the end. And with that, he was lashed 39 times. And then they took a crown of thorns and pressed it into his skull, onto his head. And then they dressed him with a scarlet robe, the robe of royalty, and began to ridicule him and then they took him outside and began what is known the way of Dolorosa, or the way of pain, where he began to walk from there through the city, through the gate, and to that hill which was known as Golgotha, or the place of the skull. It was morning. People were already waking and traveling along the narrow streets as Jesus began that way of pain, or continued it, carrying that cross. Tradition relates that he fell several times, and that is why here we come to our text. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Syrian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. Jesus was not able. And then he continued that way, and as we heard here, there was multitudes already there by the way, watching. Many believed upon him. Many thought he was a prophet. There were many that were crying and wailing. Jesus, turning unto them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." When Pilate had asked and wished to wash his hands of the blood of Jesus, the multitude cried out, "Let his blood be upon us and our children." Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, "Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps that never gave suck." Then shall they begin to say unto the mountains, "Fall on us," and unto the hills, "Cover us." For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Some 40 years later, the Jewish people revolted against the Roman Empire. The Romans besieged the city. Again, it was a time of Passover. History relates unto us that there were 1 million people inside the walls of the city of Jerusalem. And food began to run out. The siege lasted many, many weeks. People began to starve to death. Disease began rampant. There were hundreds of people dying, and then thousands, and then tens of thousands of people. And they had to start throwing the bodies over the walls of the city. Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. There are those old speaker brothers who have related how, as time will go on and the time of the end comes closer, that Jerusalem once again will be besieged. But what grace of grace it is that our Heavenly Father has promised unto us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left. As they were nailing the spikes into the arms, into the wrists, and into the ankles of the Lord Jesus, he had this prayer that he uttered in the midst of that excruciating pain that he experienced. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. So many of these things the prophets had testified and prophesied hundreds and thousands of years ago. Even of this, his raiment did not have any seams, so they could not tear it. So they decided then that let's cast lots to see who gets his raiment. So many of these little details, how God was fulfilling every detail. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And it was the time of Passover. There were many, many, many visitors that were coming and going to Jerusalem and were walking by where Jesus was there on the place of the skull hanging from the tree. Crucifixion was a common punishment in those days, 2,000 years ago. But it was only unto the slaves and the lowest classes of people that would be crucified on the cross or be put to death on the cross. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Somebody once related of this portion exactly here. On that middle cross was our Lord and Savior Jesus. And on either side lay two great sinners, also being put to death because of the sins that they have committed. The one was ridiculing Jesus. The other realized, this is Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind. This is indeed the Son of God. He heard the prayer that he prayed on behalf of those that were putting him to death. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And in those final moments of his life, he saw the beauty of God's kingdom. He saw the beauty there of the Lord and Savior Jesus. Someone once said that this is nothing more than a picture of mankind. We have our Savior, our Lord Jesus, who desires to save mankind. He desires to grant forgiveness and grace unto everyone. And we have one who is so near unto the Lord Jesus, but yet through the darkness of unbelief, he could not behold the Savior of mankind, but rather he also ridiculed. On the other side, just as great of a sinner, also being put to death because of the deeds that he had done. And yet, in that final moment of his life, he received the grace of God. His eyes were opened. He beheld the beauty of God's kingdom. And all he could utter to Jesus was, Lord, remember me. And Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, the miracle of that grace and love and forgiveness of our Heavenly Father. Unto one who finds himself in the place of a sinner. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shall thou be with me in paradise. In the book of Ecclesiastes, in the 7th chapter, the 1st verse, it's related in this way. A good name is better than precious ointment, or to that effect. It's referring to the name of a child of God. And then it goes on to say that the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. How does one explain that with human reason and understanding? It's impossible. But the day of death unto a child of God with living faith in their heart is better than the day of their birth. Why? Why? Some children, some believing children of God have only lived a few moments here. Others, over 100 years. And yet, the Bible says the day of their death is better than the day of their birth. Why? Because at that moment, one goes from endeavoring in living faith to seeing the incredible, miraculous beauty of heaven. That is why. Ask your elders, visit with your elders and ask them about their life. And ask them to relay unto you of their experiences. And every one of them will tell you how quickly life has gone. The psalmist even reminds in this simple way, that the years are like the mist of a morning. They come quickly when one looks back on life. And even if one lives here to be 100 years old and leaves, what then? And then eternity begins. Dear child of God, preserve living faith. Cling to this gospel. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit that speaketh in the churches, as Jesus reminds us in the final pages of the Bible. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. When a child of God departs from this life, we are sending a saint to heaven. That is how simple it is. And the testimony in the hearts of the living children of God are, testimony that they were saved by grace. Not by their merit, not by their wisdom, not by anything that man is able to do, but they were saved by living faith and clinging to that gospel. And it was about the sixth hour, about noon, 12 o'clock noon. And there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, till 3 o'clock, 3 p.m. For 3 hours, darkness descended. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Jesus, whose strength was ebbing away, and as that blood dripped into the dirt of Golgotha, uttered these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. It happened there in a temple, there in the holiest of holy room, was divided with this huge veil, and it tore from the top to the bottom in half. Why? Because the law had been fulfilled. We no longer need to live under the law. We live under grace. Oh yes, the law is still there with grace. And it is the law then that draws sinners and those in unbelief to the only place where they can receive help and peace, to God's living congregation and kingdom here upon the earth. It draws one to the very feet of our Lord Jesus. through the Holy Spirit. There was a huge earthquake when Jesus died. When we read from Matthew, Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went out into the holy city and appeared unto many. And so on. Jesus, when he was preaching, praying, in that upper chamber, in the 17th verse, from the Gospel of John, it says these words, or it says in this way, these words spake Jesus and lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to us, to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And here again later he prayed, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. For they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so on. When we remember this merit work of our beloved Lord Jesus, this work of salvation which he had done on the behalf of mankind, on your behalf and mine, what is required of us? How does one obtain salvation? It is only through our Lord Jesus. Through his merit work, we are justified through his work. We are unable to do anything to obtain salvation unto ourselves. Our Lord Jesus prepared everything so perfectly that all we need is to endeavor to follow his bloody footsteps. Jesus spoke how he said, I came not to judge mankind, I came to save mankind. We do not judge. But as the Apostle Paul has written, he said, do good unto all men, and especially unto the household of God. Dear brothers and sisters, we are our brother's keepers. We need one another, and we need the help of our Lord Jesus and our Heavenly Father. And how does he help you and I? Through his angels here upon the earth. Be bold, dear brother and sister, in the Holy Spirit. Preach the message, the gospel of the kingdom, one to another. Encourage those who are in unbelief to come to the hearing of God's word. God desires that all would obtain eternal life in heaven. This is His wish. And we are left here, dear brothers and sisters, as the messengers of Jesus. Again, from that 45th verse, he says, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witness of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." And so on. Dear brother and sister, even as Jesus reminded us in that garden to watch and to pray, and again I say unto you, pray. He said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Dear brother and sister, this evening, just as you find yourself, freely believe this message of the gospel from our Lord Jesus, that all your sins and doubts are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. Cling to this gospel. Pray unto the Heavenly Father above all to preserve you and I in living faith. Help one another, dear brother and sister. We are in continual need of help. It is a fierce battle that surrounds us every day. This sin-corrupt flesh that we carry, our minds and our rational thinking is battling against the voice of the Holy Spirit that speaks unto us every day at all times. The unbelieving world with its temptations is continually calling us to come this way, to partake of the pleasures of this world and the power of Satan himself. Incredible power. But dear brother and sister, be assured and be uplifted and comforted. The power of the enemy of the soul, the devil, is nothing compared to the power of our Heavenly Father. The enemy of the soul cannot stand to be around one who is singing the psalms and hymns of Zion. He cannot stand to be around one who is speaking of the way and the journey. And he cannot stand to be around one who is praying unto the Heavenly Father. He flees, as Luther has taught us. He flees. Rest assured, dear brother and sister, God has promised He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. But pray unto the Heavenly Father that He preserve in us a heart of a child. And that's why Peter said that we would be as newborn babies, desiring the sincere milk of the Word, that we could grow thereby, that we could be again and again reminded about those teachings of our Lord Jesus. And I also need to hear, dear brother and sister, that can I believe my many doubts and sins also forgiven? I desire to believe with you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.